You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Thank you for joining us again. This is November 21, 2022. We are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. And go to rumble.com when we're on the air live and you push the button live, you join us in studio. Simply go to the search engine, enter Larry Connors, USA. It'll take you to that page. If you can't see it now, you can pull it up and watch it later. I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to subscribe. Cost you nothing. We do not sell your information. You can subscribe, get it delivered to you, and you can watch it at your own pleasure anyway. And share with others. It's nice to share with others. Let them know. Make sure they're aware of this program. In fact, the growth and the response to this program, I give all to you and to God. I mean, I do my part I can, and Quentin does his part, but it's you. And, of course, with God's grace, the program continues to grow and hopefully will. All right, so let's get to some of the issues on news and commentary. We call it that because I want to make sure you understand. Even if you're watching me now on Rumble, like watching me on TV news in the decades past, or not decades past, but a few years ago, whatever. Bottom line is, it's not just straight news. I will give you an opinion, and I'm calling it news and commentary. For instance, the Democrats are wackos with what they're getting ready to do. And some Republicans are also wacko. Let me explain. First of all, let's deal with the Republicans. For one thing, Donald Trump this last weekend was addressing the influential Republican Jewish Coalition Saturday, 2 days after becoming the first declared GOP candidate for the 2024 campaign. He's at the Venetian Resort in Las Vegas. Had a lot of his rivals there, including Florida Governor DeSantis. And Trump was shown to still retain a following. But one Florida real estate developer, DeSantis Country, told CNN, "I think people are getting tired of his controversies all the time." That doesn't bode well, does it? And, of course, Republicans did flip the House but have a slim majority. And then, of course, they got to hold their ranks. And then, speaking about that, you got some moderate House Republicans along with moderate Democrats. They say we're going to be a counterweight to the House Freedom Caucus, the very conservative wing of the conservatives inside the House. But they're not as wacko as the ultra-leftists are. But they say we're going to be kind of a counterweight. That would include Congressman David Joyce, Republican of Ohio, leader of the moderate Republican governance group, saying, Kevin, speaking about Kevin McCarthy's, not stupid. He's trying to add to his numbers, not destroy his base. So I count on his political acumen to know what's acceptable to the rank and file inside the conference. Here's what's acceptable. Let me help you. Do not give in. Do not let them gain control on things they should not have control of. And here comes Hakeem Jeffries, who's going to apparently be leading the Democrats. After Pelosi steps aside, they will not be the party in power, so McCarthy will hold the gavel. But Hakeem Jeffries will lead the Democrats in the House. Hakeem Jeffries, I will remind you, has said in the past, Russia interfered with our election, attacked our democracy for the sole purpose of artificially placing someone at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and they were successful. In other words, he's still denying that Trump was ever president of the United States, as has Hillary Clinton, as has Abrams, as has many Hollywood stars and starlets. And yet, that's okay to question if you're on that side of the fence. No, it's not. It's not at all. And in fact, celebrities are wailing and raging because when Musk said that Trump could have his Twitter account back, Trump's still not doing it, but still you got the celebrities claiming that that's not right. He shouldn't have that. Mia Farrow said, get some blood pressure pills. Rob Reiner, of course, who was meathead, may I remind you, said Musk is letting a man who led a violent insurrection to overthrow the government back on his platform. It's no insurrection. You don't have any charges of anything like that. But if you want to know where the left is going to take you, it's going to be to a dead-end road. State of California continuing aggressive policies pushing consumers and companies adopt electric vehicles. And they're going to force shipping companies to use electric trucks at the port facilities by 2035. You think you got supply chain issues now? Stand by, please.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
If you have a visual impairment that makes it difficult to identify paper money, you may be eligible for a free currency reader device. To find out more, call toll-free 844-815-9388.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the Valley of Kings?
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Are you conducting the standard security procedure? Is the standard screening procedure for refugees is they are conducted, they are given an in-person interview to find out, for example, if they're a terrorist. So you said 100% of these evacuees are screened. Have they all been given in-person interviews per the normal process?
They have not all been given.
Why not?
Interviews, because we have to be mindful of the fact that we were in an emergency situation to evacuate U.S. citizens, lawful permanent residents, special immigrant visa holders, and others who have.
And what percentage do those, the special immigrant visa holders and American citizens, what percentage of the total tens of thousands did those constitute?
I have that that information for you. If you'll give me 1 minute.
The answer is it's an extremely small percentage. I mean, it's maybe a few thousand out of 60,000 who have come to this country. So my question is, why are you not conducting in-person interviews of the people who have been brought here to this country? Don't you think that's dangerous?
Yeah, I would think it is dangerous. But, of course, that was Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, and he was questioning at that time Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. If you were in the first hour with us, in the opening monologue, you heard Mayorkas being questioned about how many illegals coming across our border are you personally inspecting and verifying and vetting that they are not going to be terrorists, that they're not already terrorists. Now, you know we've caught 80 to 100 or more that have been on a no-fly list. They're obviously terrorists, but the border is open, so if they can get somewhere into Mexico and then come across the southern border, they're here. And you have to keep this in mind. We've had 2 million plus, 2 million plus crossing the border since Biden took over. That's of the ones that we have caught and have been able to acknowledge. There are hundreds of thousands, probably at least tens of thousands, gotaways. We see them, we capture them on drone video or at distance, but we can't get agents there, and pretty soon they're scattered. Now, if, riddle me this, if you were a terrorist and you wanted to get to the USA and you're on a no-fly list and you know, no way am I going to be able to take a plane ride in New York, that's just not going to happen. But if I can get to Mexico and come across at a distant point where other people are crossing, I could get inside the U.S. of A. and then wait for a signal on a certain day and carry out a jihadist attack. I pray that I'm wrong about that possibility, but the reality is they hate us, they want to kill us, and they want to destroy this country. And if you are a patriot, that's why this program is built. It's for patriots. Again, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, non-party affiliated. I don't care about your sexual preference, your color, your origin, your religion. Do you care about this country? Are you a patriot? If you're a patriot, you want this nation secure. And I don't want to hear the arguments, well, you know, the wall is a dangerous thing and that's a bad thing. You tell me why every celebrity in Hollywood and the Vatican and now the White House has a gate or a wall of preventing anyone from just simply walking in. You know why. And yet what we're doing now at the border, we've been doing for some time, is we're just acting like we're protecting the country and carrying out our rules of immigration. Not against immigration. We're against illegal immigration. So you heard in this case, Congressman Hawley, or Senator Hawley of Missouri, was questioning Alejandro Mayorkas about the Afghan refugees. Remember when we left Bagram? And there were certain Afghans that had been supporting our troops while they were there for those 20 years, and we told them, you'll get a special visa. We will get you to the USA and your family because you were here supporting us. But a lot came that were not verified. We don't know how many for sure came, but you're going to hear some numbers here in a moment. But the bottom line is there were a lot of people just trying to get the hell out of there, and how many of them saw this again as an opportunity to come to the U.S. and take revenge for what had happened. How many Taliban members got on board some of our own Air Force planes and were delivered inside this country? And then what kind of vetting did they go through? Let's go back to the question. And again, this is from the other day. I just didn't have time because so many things are going on. This Senator Josh Hawley pressing Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas on Afghan refugees.
So my question is, why are you not conducting in-person interviews of the people who have been brought here to this country? Don't you think that's dangerous?
I do not, Senator. I think that if, in fact, there is information adduced that gives any cause for concern, number one, the individual is not brought to the United States.
Well, wait a minute. When you say that, I just want to be clear about this. When you say any information, you mean if they are already in our database as a terrorist or a criminal or a terrorist affiliate, right?
We capture the biometric and biographic information of the individuals in the transit countries.
Right. And if they're, I understand that. And if they're in our databases already as a terrorist or a terrorist affiliate or a known criminal, then maybe you're saying there's a fault. Then maybe they get an interview. But what about, so that's fine. But what about the thousands, tens of thousands of people who aren't already in our database? The people who we don't know who they are, have they been interviewed?
Senator, what we do is we capture their biographic and biometric information. We screen.
That's like a fingerprint.
A photograph, biographic information, and we run it against our databases in our law enforcement intelligence and other holdings.
But you're not interviewing them, Mr. Secretary. It's not unless they're already in our database that you then bother to interview them. Do you know how many of the 9/11 hijackers, the 20 who tried to enter this country, do you know how many of them were given an in-depth interview by a trained official?
If I may walk through the process.
No, this is an important question. Do you know how many of the hijackers were given an in-depth interview?
I do not.
One. The answer is one. That person did not enter the country. The others were not given an interview.
They did not get an interview, and they got into the country. Now, here's a critical point. After 9/11, we realized we have a lot of gaps, and we're not doing things as we are supposed to be doing them. And even when we have laws in place, we're not following them properly. We're not exchanging information between agencies as we need to. Remember the 9/11 Commission put together. Find out. Get to the bottom of all this. Well, they came up with certain recommendations. And among the recommendations are exactly what Senator Hawley put back in front of Alejandro Mayorkas.
Do you know how many of the hijackers were given an in-depth interview?
I do not.
One. The answer is one. That person did not enter the country. The others were not given an interview. We know the outcome. For that reason, the 9/11 Commission recommended in-person interviews for all refugees and others brought to this country in these circumstances. That was 20 years ago. That's why the standard procedure is an in-person interview for refugees or visa applicants. Now, you've testified that you're not doing those interviews.
Not at all.
That they're not happening.
No, if I may.
You have just testified. You just said that they are not being interviewed unless they're already in our system as a known terrorist.
No.
That would have captured none of the 9/11 hijackers.
Now, I will tell you that we edited it there because Mayorkas stumbles his way around. Well, you misunderstood. I didn't mean you want. Bottom line is they're not doing the damn job, and they're putting Americans at risk. And this administration is allowing it to happen, not only with those we brought in from Afghanistan not being properly vetted, but those coming across the border on a continuous basis. There will be, in the midst of all of those, some good people, some people that just want to come to America. This is the land of opportunity. They know they can. This will be so much better than, to use Trump's phrase, and he's right, the hellhole they were living in. Some countries are a hellhole. That's why they want out of there. And if you were there with your family, you'd want to do the same. But we have laws. President Obama, and so did President Bill Clinton stated, we are a law of immigrants. We are a land of immigrants, but we're also a land of law. You know, the only law they seem to be interested in is what can we do to prosecute Donald Trump and anybody related to him. And for that reason the other day, and it happened kind of late in my program Friday, I didn't have time to give it the justice it should have gotten. You had Attorney General Merrick Garland come forward with an announcement.
Based on recent developments, including the former president's announcement that he is a candidate for president in the next election, and the sitting president's stated intention to be a candidate as well, I have concluded that it is in the public interest to appoint a special counsel. Such an appointment underscores the department's commitment to both independence and accountability in particularly sensitive matters. Throughout his career, Jack Smith has built a reputation as an impartial and determined prosecutor who leads teams with energy and focus to follow the facts wherever they lead. As special counsel, he will exercise independent prosecutorial judgment to decide whether charges should be brought.
So A.G. Garland has appointed this special prosecutor because Trump announced that he was going to run for president. And because Garland's boss is the current president, he thought, I need a hands-off, so we'll appoint a special prosecutor. So they turned to Jack Smith, former head of the Justice Department's Public Integrity Section. Now, I don't know what kind of integrity section it was when he was head of it, but we kind of know what it is now, right? But he's going to oversee the investigation into Trump's retention of sensitive government documents at his home in Florida and key aspects of the separate inquiry into his actions before the January 6th attack. That's what Merrick Garland said. If they had proof on any of those things, they would have already posted them wall-to-wall coverage on state-controlled media. So they don't have it, but they're going to continue to push and make noise over it. Blah, 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 going to continue. Now, let me give you a little bit more background on Jack Smith, the new special counsel. He said in a statement, We're going to conduct the assigned investigations and any prosecutions that may result from them independently and in the best traditions of the Department of Justice. Oh, you can't say that with a straight face. Not the way the Department of Investigations, the FBI, DOJ are being run now, can you? He did. He said that the investigations would, quote, not pause or flag under his watch. And he would move the investigations forward expeditiously, thoroughly, to whatever would overcome the facts, to whatever outcome the facts and laws dictate. Smith was a federal prosecutor, among the first to investigate a young Donald Trump in the 70s on possible fraud charge. You didn't know that, did you? Once again, Donald Trump has a response to all of it.
This horrendous abuse of power is the latest in a long series of witch hunts. It started a long time ago. They want to do bad things to the greatest movement in the history of our country, but in particular, bad things to me. But I've gotten used to it. It's lucky. It's lucky. A lot of people wouldn't get used to it so easily. This is a rigged deal, just as the 2020 election was rigged, and we can't let them get away with it. Over the years, I've given millions and millions of pages of documents, tax returns, and everything else, and they have found nothing, which means I've proven to be one of the most honest and innocent people ever in our country.
Now, you can argue that point if you want to. That's fine with me, but you heard him deny that the 2020 election was correctly run. You can't be an election denier. Let me read to you again what I did earlier in News and Commentary. Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat in New York in 2019, claimed the presidential election was artificially made so Donald Trump would become president. And I don't care how the vote counting went. I want to give you some evidence on the other side that there was fraud from the beginning. But first, I want you to hear from Governor DeSantis on how they won Florida so big.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Not a yes, sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
People see that you're leading, and they see that you mean what you say and say what you mean, and that you're willing to and you're able to deliver results. We get people to vote for us who may not be in our party, and that's really what you need to do. You don't win by 1.5 million votes if you only get your own party. And so what we were able to do, yes, obviously we got a lot of Republicans turning out because they were supportive, and we appreciate that. But, you know, we won independents by between 15 and 20 points. We probably won 60% of Hispanics statewide. That's a record. No Republican has ever done that. I don't think anyone's ever done that. We won women. That hasn't been done by a Republican governor for 20 years.
Those are pretty amazing stats as you're listening to Florida Governor DeSantis on how well they did in the state of Florida. And, of course, if you recall, New York Governor Cuomo, when he was in office, before the hashtag MeToo scandals took him down, he and all the left were pointing out to, you're going to die if you go to Florida, because they're not doing things right. They're not masking people all the time. They're letting kids go to school. And everybody that said that that's harming kids, you're also called, you know, a member of a cult that must be linked to Trump or something, that you want to see people die. No, you're just saying, hey, the science is not supported by anything you're giving us. And you just keep pushing it out, pushing and pushing. In Florida, they start pushing back. They added 4 GOP members to Congress because they got supermajorities in their state legislature. And he brought that up during the Republican Jewish Coalition speech over the weekend. I mentioned earlier that Trump was there and at the Venetian in Vegas, and so was DeSantis. And, of course, DeSantis is now pitching the Sunshine State as the blueprint for the rest of the country moving forward. And I think you look at what they accomplished in the midterms, I'd say it's a, not just a blueprint, it's a must-follow plan. A must-follow plan. He said, we secured supermajorities in the Florida legislature, the most Republicans we've ever had in Florida history. We elected 26 new consecutive school board members all across the state of Florida. We won the state house seat that includes Miami, Miami Beach, not typically viewed as a Republican stronghold. And because of the support of so many of you in our campaign, we delivered the greatest gubernatorial victory in the history of the state of Florida. Like I say, it's not just a blueprint. It is a must-follow plan. To assemble this device, begin here, step one, and continue. Now, I mentioned going to the break. You heard Trump railing against the special prosecutors being appointed to him, saying it's just more this, you know, it's more the election-stealing stuff they were throwing at us. And, of course, he's an election denier, but so is Hakeem Jeffries on the Democrat side, along with Stacey Abrams, along with VP Harris was also an election denier about Trump winning, and Hillary Clinton still. But I told you, even before votes were counted, folks, consider this. You may say there was nothing wrong with the tabulations, the votes were properly counted, nobody dead voted, maybe. And they were all done proper. But the interference with the 2016 election began before a single vote was cast. Before a single vote was cast, it was already being put in place. You remember when? With this last election? Also? I mean, they were already mocking Trump in 2016, but let's just deal with 2020 right now. Do you remember the laptop from hell from Hunter Biden that the FBI had already gone around to the big tech sources and major state-controlled media and said, hey, watch for Russian propaganda again. This something might surface. You don't want to run it. And they didn't run it. And a lot of folks never knew about the so-called laptop for hell because the FBI held it quiet for a year, and it broke finally in the New York Post weeks before the election. A lot of votes have already been cast. We're going to get back into that at the end of this hour because CBS News has finally acknowledged, oh, it's real. No kidding. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. If you're watching on rumble.com, you see me shaking my head like, what's wrong with Larry this time? It's Monday. No, I'm kidding. I love being here. You know I love being here. I enjoy you being there. You make this program. And please continue and share with others. I thank you and I appreciate it very much. And may I take a moment to remind you to support the sponsors of this program. Even if you don't really need them on any particular thing, maybe you don't need a John Beale roof today. Maybe you don't need Wellington Environmental. You're not ready to buy a car at this point, so you don't need to go to J. Ackerman Toyota, but you might need service. But if you're looking to eat, there's always Cafe Napoli, Rottler Pest Control, and among others that we've got. I mean, at least call and let them know, thanks for supporting a truly patriotic program, the most fascinating and the best in the nation, and I appreciate it. Let me share a story with you. I was going to have James J. Carafano of the Heritage Foundation join us. We had lined up an interview, and apparently going into holiday times, people are losing, and I could understand, track of their schedules, because James always very good about being there anyway, but I know the story and I want to share it. I wanted him to tell more of it. He put up a piece on a Twitter account today, on his Twitter account, and it began, "This was just unforgivable." And I read it, and I just read through it quickly, and as I read, I got more and more incensed. I mean, I was absolutely angry by the time I'd finished reading what he posted, this small bit on his James J. Carafano Substack. He called it the most shameful moment in military history. America's had its ups and downs. This was the lowest point. And then he added, "This was just unforgivable." I replied and stated, "Agree, without question, that Felix Longoria should receive full military honors. Jim, thanks for calling attention to this." And after I said, I got to thinking, wait a minute, I know about this story. I was thinking this is something new, but it has a history. James is online with us now. Glad to have you with us, sir. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, sorry, I get out of another interview.
Yeah. Well, look, you tell him I've got Larry. You tell him I got Larry Connors. We're done with you. I got to go to Larry Connors.
those are exactly the words out of my mouth.
Good for you. Thank you, sir. Listen, this when I first responded to your tweet, and I was just rehashing some of it before, and I haven't even gotten into the full details of it. I told him, I said, I was incensed just by reading that little part of it. And then after I sent your tweet, I thought, wait a minute, I think I've heard, this is, more so I looked at the name, I realized this is an historical event, but I'm glad you re-emphasize it. Briefly, what happened?
Okay, which issue are we talking about?
You're not sure. I'm talking about the Longoria story, the cemetery, the funeral home in Three Rivers, Texas.
Yeah, it's I remember that story from a kid. So for people that know our Texas history, so Franklin was a World War II veteran. He deployed to the Pacific in the waning days of World War II. He went into the Philippines. I think it was his first combat action. He was killed in action.
Yeah.
But along with his platoon, they were ambushed by the Japanese. They didn't actually identify the remains until 1949. And so in 1949, they sent the body back home for burial. And the family reached out to the local funeral home, and they said, "Well, I'm sorry, he's Mexican-American, and we can't allow that in the chapel because folks in town might not appreciate that."
No. I want to read specifically what you said and what you pointed out there. They said, "Other white people object to see use of the funeral home by people of Hispanic heritage or origin." Other white people, right?
Yeah, and not only that, they said, well, he would have to be buried in the Mexican-American part of the cemetery, which was behind barbed wire. So this is, look, I mean, I don't care what you think about anything, but this is pretty disgraceful that somebody that gave his life for the country isn't treated like every other veteran. So a very brave and courageous activist raised this issue, actually got national attention to it, and it really kind of embarrassed the whole state of Texas. And Lyndon Johnson, who was a senator then, arranged for him to be buried in Arlington Cemetery with full military honors. But the reason why I was thinking about this story was I was rewatching the film Giant, which again, I don't think Texans really, but at the time, Texas had their issues with the film and the book as well. But there's an incident in the book where one of the Mexican-American kids in the ranch goes off in World War II and is killed, and he comes back and faces similar treatment. And I hadn't realized that scene in the book, in the film, is actually based on
Frank
Longoria.
Okay.
Yeah, it is, right.
Well, again, this happened before my time or your time, 1949. Right. I mean, I might have been, that was 20 years before I was born, something like that. That's my best estimate.
But the
whole thing is, it's history and it's been forgotten. I'm so glad you brought it forward.
But the thing is the difference between this and something like the 1619 Project, right? This thing about
American
people back. This is using history to beat us out of the head and tell us we're evil and terrible and horrible people and corrupt and we can just let the leftists do whatever they want. That's not the way you talk about the bad things in history. The way you don't use them as a political cudgel to get what you want. You use them to say, look, we are imperfect people and we learn from our mistakes. And if we're prayerful and honest, we can build a better world. So remembering a shameful incident like this isn't to say that, you know, all white people are bad and or this is a terrible country for Hispanic Americans. It's saying, okay, we do stupid stuff. And prayerful, honest people recognize that, and they use those incidents not to browbeat everybody else, but to say we should all seek to be our better selves, better folks in our community, better Americans, better patriots. That's all.
May I add some remark? I was looking at as it was written up by the Texas State Historical Association, and they talked about that they had a committee held open hearings at the Chamber of Commerce after all these allegations of Ford. They conclude there was no discrimination on the part of the funeral director, that he had acted in anger but had apologized, and four of the committee men signed it off, and one of them saying the funeral director's words appear to be discriminatory, but, you know, they were being discriminatory. There's no doubt at all.
Right.
And this was an American soldier. Same thing with blacks who were going into World War II. And they were dissed and put aside, and they were some of the strongest, most fierce fighters of all. And Apache Indians, Native American Indians, I should say.
Right. And you know what? Thank you for mentioning African Americans volunteered in overwhelming numbers for World War II.
Right. Right.
And despite the fact that they knew there was Jim Crow in the South, that there was prejudice in the military, that they couldn't serve in many years with whites, Native Americans volunteered in overwhelming numbers to fight in World War II. Japanese Americans, who their families were interned
right.
in camps in the United States, they volunteered to fight in this country. Not, because they didn't think that this country was perfect and that they should, you know, they recognized that the country was imperfect, but they recognized that it was their country too, and they were going to fight for it, and then they were going to hold it and make it the kind of country that they wanted to. That is not what Black Lives Matter is doing. That's not what DEI is doing. That's not what ESG is doing. They're telling you that everything is wrong, and it's only right if you swear political allegiance to them and do exactly what they want. Do you know FTX had a perfect, you know, environmental government score? FTX, the company that just went bankrupt, they had a perfect score.
Right,
they had
right.
a perfect leftist score. They had a perfect score for progressive leadership.
Yes.
They built people for billions of dollars.
Scamming. Scam artists. Score. Top scam artists. Go ahead.
Right, but this is the difference between them and us. We are willing to look at our history and take the good and the bad and say we will try to build a better country based on our experience. They use history and politics and everything else. Say this is a pledge of allegiance to us. You have to recognize that you are terrible and you have to pledge allegiance to us and remember whoever the heck we want. That's not what Frank died for. It's not what African Americans served for. It's not what Japanese Americans served for in World War II. Is that what people went and served in Vietnam for? Nobody served to any of that. Nobody served to get political power over a bunch of leftists to create a leftist Disney World.
Yeah, there were those who were drafted, but aside, and the draft was put in place because it was needed to have them in. But in the last 30 seconds, how do you think a story like this resonates with those now when they keep saying that this nation is totally off the rails?
Well, I look at leaders of every race, creed, and color in this country who are extraordinary and who did that on the back of their own perseverance and courage. And I said, look, Frank would be proud of Texas. Frank would be the proudest guy in America for Texas today.
Well, I'm native born and I'm proud anyway.
This is the state I would die for.
Yeah. James, thank you. And I wish you a most blessed Thanksgiving, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you very much. James J. Carafano, Heritage Foundation. Coming up, CBS News doesn't want to be fact-checked.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up.
until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, here we go. And this is the part that I've been wanting to do all day, and that is mock state-controlled media and call them out. And they're even calling themselves out. They don't want to do it too loudly. It's like you're being invited to a party, but don't let everybody know. Or I made a mistake, but let's kind of move past it. Kind of like all of these COVID draconian lockdown officials saying, can we have amnesty, please? We didn't know. We did the best we could under the, we didn't know. We told you repeatedly that kind of stuff was not going to work. It's going to hurt children and hurt people that didn't need to be, and keeping loved ones from their dying relatives because you decided, well, we can't, and you want amnesty? No, hell no, you're not going to get it. And neither is CBS going to get it. But let's begin here. CBS News has now verified more than 2 years and days after our midterm election here. CBS News has now verified Hunter Biden's laptop is indeed real. 2 years? CBS's Catherine Herridge was being quoted saying, let me see, she was at the Post at the time, a Breitbart reporter was at the New York Post at the time and had verified and reported all the contents back in 2020. But at the time, the corporate media's response, including CBS News, was either ignore it or lie about it being Russian disinformation. You remember the New York Times did the same thing, but they did verify the laptop months ago, about 11 to 13 months after the election. So they weren't going to acknowledge it then. And now, finally, CBS has. Partial transcript from a CBS report. CBS News has obtained the laptop data, not through a third party or political operative, but directly from the source who told us they provide to the FBI under subpoena. We commissioned an independent forensic review to determine its authenticity. And the guy they say the laptop we analyzed showed no evidence it was faked or tampered with. This is two years after it was first unveiled by the New York Post. When everyone else was told, shut it down, it's Russian propaganda, don't allow them to even report it. And remember, NPR News, which you contribute to with your tax dollar, I don't care how much it is, you're still contributing to it. You want to contribute to something? Contribute to Larry Connors USA. I'll take it. But they were saying, we're not going to cover the laptop. We don't cover fiction. We only cover real news. I don't know if they've yet to acknowledge it's real. But now, 2 years afterwards, CBS is saying, yeah, it was real. They knew then. And if they were any good at all being, quote, an investigative agency, news agency, they would have inquired and gotten answers in, but they didn't want to. They're going to slow walk it, and they're going to go along with the FBI, tell them, hey, Russian propaganda again. Now, against that backdrop, Musk the other day had said that they're going to do a better job of fact-checking on some things. Now, I'm not so sure they're going to really do a better job, but for the group I've seen him put together, it looks like he's trying to bring people of all stripes in, and you'll end up with some dominating, so it won't be legitimate. But bottom line came out of this was that because of Musk taking control of Twitter and even saying we'll let Trump back on, CBS announced it's suspending all Twitter activity out of abundance of caution. They did not want to be fact-checked. You're a news agency, and you don't want to be fact-checked? Every editor up and down the line in CBS News should be doing fact-checking. And if you're not willing to do it, go do something else. Don't be messing with this stuff. But here's the other kicker to it. They said we're going to leave Twitter. We're not going to have anything to do with it, because we don't want Twitter fact-checking our information. See, they're all about letting it fact-check Trump, conservatives, whatever else, but don't be fact-checking us. I now have in front of me here this story from National Review. CBS News quits Twitter. That's the headline. ...... for a few hours. Yep, that's right. Less than a day after CBS News announced it's going to pause its social media activity, it reversed its decision and now intends to remain active on the platform. Friday, they said, in light of the uncertainty around Twitter, that was after Trump was supposedly going to be allowed back on. Trump has indicated he's not going to. And also that they're going to be fact-checking things closer and better. CBS News decided we don't want to be part of it. We don't want to be fact-checked. That's what it came down to. It was a time that CBS News, certainly Walter Cronkite at the helm, was that was the standard, the gold standard of news journalism. We are so far from that now with our state-controlled media. I don't mind if you're going to rework the facts, change them up. Just be honest about it. Say this is not a full fact story. It includes opinions and a commentary, as I do with this radio show. I'll give you facts, but I will also give you my opinion. Is that too much to ask? The answer, no. Hey, thanks as always for listening. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.